Blog Talk Radio.
This is not a time to get distracted. This is not a time to go off course. This is not a time to lose your focus. Got a word to you for the Lord, and you cannot afford to lose your way. You come too far from where you started, so please don't let the time you stole be wasted on things that you'll later regret, wishing you never.
Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. I am so sorry. My technical difficulties, my mute button was on. This is Stacey Lunsford, and tonight's broadcast is I Have a Testimony to Share. So we thank you so much for joining us. We have a special guest, and her name is Christian author Talana R. Coleman, and we're going to be sharing her testimony about her second book that she wrote, and I am going to welcome her at this time. Good evening. How are you?
Hi. Good evening, Stacey. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. And I was I was busy talking and nobody heard me.
Because
the phone was on mute, but it's okay. You know, we're here now, and I thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. And I'm so excited about this because when you came on to share your testimony about your first book that you authored, your children's book, and it was such a hit, and during the interview, you mentioned that you was working on your second book. So here we are, still in 2023. The new year didn't even come in yet, and you finished your book. So truly, yes, this is a testimony, and we want to give God the glory and the honor. And yes, I just want to say congratulations to you for your diligence and just seeing everything, you know, through that spirit of completion to complete this project. So
yes,
let's jump right into the interview, and you can introduce yourself to our – well, I want to introduce to some and present to other Christian author, Mrs. Talana R. Coleman, and her first book was entitled You Matter, and she was teaching children about self-worth. And if you listened to the interview, if you participated with that interview, it was powerful, and many adults ended up being blessed by the book, and I'm quite sure that many adults are going to be blessed by this book as well. So her newest book is entitled I Am Important. And in this book, she's teaching children about acceptance. So Talana, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. What was the inspiration behind this book, I Am Important, and teaching children about acceptance?
Okay. All right. I thank you, Stacey, so much for just allowing me to be invited to speak on your broadcast, Eloquently Speaking. It is truly a blessing to me. And first, I just want to say the first book is I Am Important. So my first interview with you was for the first book, which was titled I Am Important, and that was a book that teaches children acceptance. The second book is titled You Matter, and it teaches children self-worth. And I'm just so grateful, you know, that the way the Lord speaks to me when it comes to me. Doing anything, I'm really intentional when I put my mind to do anything. And as the Lord spoke to me in reference to my second book titled You Matter, he told me, he was speaking to me and being really intentional and direct, and letting me know that we look in the world today and we see how many of our children are really saddened about situations that they may find themselves in, and they don't really have really good self-esteem. They have identity issues and things of that such. So he really began to speak to me and let me know that I need to write a book and teaching children self-worth, and just also indicating once they learn who they are in reference to their self-worth, they'll have a better outcome in life. So as God speaks, I just simply, you know, just dictate and write what it is that he's instructing me to write. I really want children to understand their self-worth in God as to who God says that they are, and that they don't need confirmation from man. So I'm just, you know, just really so grateful for the way that he's speaking to me.
Well, thank you so much. And before we go any further, please forgive me because I knew that information, but I said everything backwards.
No, it's okay. It's fine.
Yes. And I like everything that you just said, and that's very, very important, you know, with the self-worth, because so many children are struggling in so many areas. Mm-hmm. And how long, when did you actually publish the book? When did you finish it?
The second book actually did not take me long to write at all. I believe I wrote it in a 2-week time frame, and I had it published within 30 days. Yes, within 30
okay.
days. So once I really learned the process as to what needed to be done, it was a little easier for me to move a little quicker on this book. And with each of my books, when God speaks to me, as I stated, I begin writing, but I don't release the books until the Lord instructs me to release the book. So the second one, You Matter, it did come out in August of this year.
Okay, and congratulations with that. And would you like to tell our listening audience how they can receive a copy, purchase a copy of your book?
Yes, my book, each of my books can be purchased on Amazon, or if there are individuals that are near me, if they would like an autographed copy, I will be happy, you know, to set up arrangements where we can actually meet and I can do the autographed copies of the book. And I'm also always looking for support when I have my book signing. So when I do have my book signing events, I do put the information on Instagram or either word of mouth. And if people do come out to support me at the book signings, they can also obtain a book that way. My books are also in CLC Bookstore as well and Amazon. And there are a host of other stores that the book can be purchased online. These aren't books, these particular ones, you can't go into stores, but you can make a purchase of the books online. And some of the stores are Thrift Books, Goodreads, Aid Books, eBay, A Novel Idea, which is located on Patreon, and also Book and Puppet. So the books can be purchased across the state. If individuals are not in, you know, the Philadelphia area, again, they can visit Amazon to make a purchase of the book.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that information. So at this time, for those of you, this may be your first time meeting or hearing from Christian author Talana R. Coleman. So I'm going to read about the author, and then we'll jump back into the discussion. And for those of you that are listening via the internet, if you have a question or a comment for Ms. Coleman, please text, or you could place your comment right on the message board, or you could inbox me directly. And if you're in the queue listening live on the through the your phone, please press 1 and we will open up your mic. So Talana R. Coleman is the director of Heaven Sent Child Care, LLC, which she has had the privilege of teaching our youngest scholars for the past 20 years. Talana has also served as advocacy chair on the Family Child Care Advisory Council and has received the House of Representatives citation from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania from State Representative Stephen Kenzie. In addition, she has received the Certificate of Honor Award from Pennsylvania State Senator Art Haywood. But what she honors most is her opportunity to serve others as she models a lifestyle that reflects Christ. Thus far, Talana is the author of I Am Important, which is a children's book that teaches children acceptance. She is also the author of You Matter, which is a book that teaches children self-worth. As she writes, she hopes to inspire every reader to aspire and to pursue their own dreams. She wants everyone to remember, a dream is only a dream unless you pursue it. There's a book in everyone's future who has a dream to pursue it. And I really love what you said about a dream. It's only a dream unless you pursue it. And it's so connected to the song that was playing by Kevin Lamar, This Is Not the Time to Get Distracted. And so many times, Kalana, when people set out to accomplish their goals, you know, things happen, setbacks happen, people get discouraged, but you really have to stick to it.
Yes.
And press through everything. So I want to ask you to share with us, were there any challenges you faced? I know you said you did it within 2 weeks, but these are very important topics that you're bringing to the world with your books.
Mm-hmm.
So did you experience any, did you have any experiences with your childcare services that you provide to your children that encourage you or inspired you to write both of these books? Now, we're going to talk about the You Matter first, and then, but we're going to kind of connect how they both work together. But what were some of the behaviors that you saw or experienced that contributed to you writing this book?
Okay, so I want to start with You Matter, as you indicated, the book which teaches children self-worth. And through my many years providing, I say, the ministry of early childhood education to children as well as their families, over those many years, I've really had a really good chance to see some of the things that the children were experiencing, even as young as they were, in reference to their self-esteem. Some of them even their identity, and even some even as they were dropped off at daycare, you can see that, you know, there were some things that were really disturbing them in their tiny spirits, you know. So therefore, I believe that even as God had allowed me to care for children for those many years, he was really preparing me for my journey as writing children's books. And through the many years that I've written books, because I've seen so much and I've experienced so much with the children and the families, it just made it a little bit easier, you know, for me to be able to connect with God and to hear the messages that he has been giving me to write within the book. So there were many instances and situations that I've witnessed as an early childhood professional, which helped to enhance my writing ability as to what God wanted me to put in each of these books.
Okay, awesome, awesome. So I want to, can you tell us about the illustrations? In both of your books, the illustrator, they did a wonderful job with I Am Important. And then looking at You Matter, everybody is just smiling, and you have a wide variety of children. And there's a little boy that's in the wheelchair. There's a young boy that's blind. And it's like regardless of their handicaps, they know that they matter. And
yes.
It's just such an inviting picture. So I want to give you an opportunity to give a shout out to your illustrator and to anyone that assisted you through this process, you know,
okay.
So you could kind of, you know, give
All
back
right.
to.
All right. So first and foremost, I want to give a shout out to my Lord Jesus Christ, because without him, I am nothing, and these books would have not come to fruition. I want to give a shout-out also for the website Fiverr. I actually was introduced to the website Fiverr by a fellow early childhood education professional, and she had written her books, but she had gone through Fiverr, which is a website where you can visit. It's F-I-V as in victory, E-R-R, and they have a host of different illustrators, If you need voiceover, you know, whatever it is, they have individuals on that particular website that are skilled in a variety of different professions that you can utilize them for different services. So I did. I went to Fiverr, and I knew I was very intentional as to how and who I wanted to be represented on the covers of the books. And the only thing I know, God kept telling me, be inclusive, be inclusive. Everyone needs to be included. So therefore, when I was looking for my illustrator, you know, I was really intentional as to whether they would be able to handle the requirement as to what God was telling me that he wanted me to put on the cover of the books. So for the first book, I Am Important, a shout-out to illustrator. Her name was Anusha Shah, and she was very detailed as to the illustrations. She was real intentional with the illustrations, and as I went to them to do the illustrations on the book, I made myself very clear I needed to be inclusive. I want everyone to be included on the cover of each of these books so that everyone would know that these messages that God has given to me, it pertains to everyone. So on the second book, You Matter, the illustrator was Sakub, and the last initial was J. And again, I was just very intentional because I understand when I write, I'm not writing for a particular race. I am writing for mankind. So therefore, I needed everyone to be represented on the cover of each of these books and any of my books forthgoing. All of my books will represent everyone. I want everyone's abilities to be represented. Just as you mentioned, we have the children in the wheelchair. We have the child that is blind on the cover of the book, and we have, you know, a variety of different races which are illustrated on the book. So, again, I was very intentional as to what I needed to do because, again, I want these books to be represented for everyone and not just for any one particular race or gender. It is for everyone to receive the messages that they are important and, yes, that they do matter.
Okay. And I hear the passion in your voice, and I hear the authority in which you spoke. And that is, like, it touches my heart because love is universal, and God is love,
yes.
And God loves the children. And with both of your books, just even from the, you know, the covers, they're very inviting. But it's like you can feel the love, you can feel the joy, and it's just positive vibes coming from the photographs. So
thank
it was
you.
An excellent job. So congratulations
thank you.
For, you know, because it just grabs your attention. It really
yes.
does.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
with all of the struggles that children go through, it's real important that children learn how to be comfortable with who they are and to understand that they do matter.
Mm-hmm.
And Talana, a lot of people, I haven't had the opportunity to read the book yet, so I'm just kind of sharing and we could kind of go along. But a lot of times children will look at themselves through behaviors around them that often affect them. And
yeah.
they compare themselves to that. And sometimes if their parents are arguing or fussing and, you know, they don't see themselves worthy and they feel like it's my fault. So how do we handle a situation like that with small children to let them know that it's not their fault?
Well, I think we need to just have conversations with children. Sometimes we think young children aren't aware of, you know, certain things, but we have to understand they are little people, and if we really begin to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with the children when we communicate with them, and, you know, like you're saying, if an argument may have taken place and they may begin to stand back and to blame themselves, we as parents, first we got to be careful as to what we are exposing our children to. And then I think it's so important also that we as parents, we just have to continue to speak life into our children, into children generally, because, again, they may be in some environment and some things go on, and, yes, it will tear a child down. And when they come in the midst of a child care setting, you know, it shows. So we as parents, we as educators, adults, you know, it's like we're raising, it takes a village to raise a kid. So we always have to really begin to pitch in and to zone in as to what is happening and really begin to communicate and to reassure a child that things are going to take place in this world. But when things do take place in this world, it's not for them to blame themselves, that them to help them to realize that they can still be children, that they can still have fun, that they can still play, but reassure them and let them know that, yes, things will take place in this world, whether it's good or bad, but we never want a child to have that weight on their shoulder that something is taking place and that they're responsible, you know, for whatever the outcome is. You know, we have to let children be children. But, again, as parents, as I said, we have to speak life into children that will give them a better outcome.
Most definitely. I totally agree. We do have a caller that have their hands up. And caller with the last four numbers, 0049. Mm-hmm. Your mic is open. Good evening.
Oh, hi. Good evening. Good evening. I just wanted to say congratulations to Talana Coleman on your book, I Am Important and You Matter. As you were talking, I was thinking about I purchased the book, I Am Important, for my granddaughter, Callie. And at that time, she was just about to go into kindergarten, so she couldn't read the book herself. So I read the book to her, and she was so excited. And by the time we finished the book, she said, I am important. And that was just so awesome to see for someone that young to, you know, to realize that I am important. Unfortunately, she doesn't live with me. She lives with my daughter. So that's where the book is. But I know that she does periodically read it to her. But I just wanted to say that that book has made an impact in a little kid's life. And I was just wondering, like the adults right now, it's being marketed and the adults can see it and they purchase it for their children and grandchildren. But I was just wondering if one day it could go into like the Scholastic books that little kids bring home and they pick out the books and the parents order the books off the sheet so that every child can get an opportunity to read this book, I Am Important and You Matter, and it make a difference in their lives at an early age. You would be surprised what it would do to them, you know, reading an author saying that you are important, you know, and that you matter. Some things they may not even hear that in their own households, but, you know, the parents are ordering the books for them in school and the kids are able to, you know, it'll make an impact to them. So that was all I wanted to say. And congratulations to you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And a big shout out to Miss Cynthia. I remember Callie. She really blessed me even when she came out to Vacation Bible Study. And I remember her, and I'm just so grateful that even in you reading the book to her, that it has had such an impact on her. Because like I said, even the children, they may be young, but it's unfortunately mm-hmm. that a lot of children are still, they're going through, you know, and yes. it's to no fault of their own. And it's so important that we remind children that they are important and that they matter. And just as you had indicated with the Scholastic, they are on my radar. I just actually emailed them last week to try to see what is the protocol for me trying to get my mm-hmm. books into their catalogs for the schools. But I hearing your testimony is truly a blessing to me, because I've always said, even if my book is to touch one individual, you know, mm-hmm. that my job is done. So I'm just so grateful as to how this book has affected Cowley. And mm-hmm. you know, even, you know, within the church setting, you know, as the children begin to come out to Sunday school and things of that such, that God will open up those doors for me to be able to take my message into different churches. But even greater, I want to take it into the public school system, because I think that's really where the messages are really needed as well. So if we can reach children mm-hmm. early and we can help them to understand their worth, you know, they'll have a better chance in this fight of this world, you know. And I think they'll, once they've received these messages, if they receive them at an early age, mm-hmm. they can really begin to do some damage in this world. And I'm saying damage in a positive way, you know, mm-hmm. and then to affect the minds of children. You know, because unfortunately, some children are in circumstances and households and around certain environments that is really damaging to them, and a child only knows what a child is accustomed to, what they're being taught and what their surroundings are. So once we begin to get these messages embedded and instilled in their hearts, you know, they can really begin to stand on their own. And even as they mm-hmm. even as they are little children, they'll begin to, you know, begin, you keep feeding it to them, they'll begin to believe it. And then they may have a playmate at school that may be going through some things, and then they can perhaps share, hey, and let the playmate, help the playmate to understand how important that they are. So I really thank you for your testimony. And again, I'm trying to do all I can do to really to get these messages out. And I've always said, Lord, I'm not trying to get rich. I'm not trying to get rich with these stories that you're giving me and with these messages that you are giving me. I'm just simply trying to be a servant to my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to serve other people, and I'm trying to help the young children of this world to know that God loves them. No matter what they may go through, God loves them, and that God has a purpose for each of their lives, you know. So I'm just going to keep trying, and whichever way God, you know, sees fit to open additional doors, you know, I just want to be available and ready so that I can share my messages. Yes.
Well, amen. And caller, thank you so much for sharing your testimony. As you were saying it, I actually went back to school. Like, you took me way back, because I remember those forms and, you know, selecting the books myself and then having children. So that's an excellent idea. And Talana, I'm excited that you already, you know, started that process.
Yes.
So what I would like to do is just offer a prayer now while we still have the caller on the line.
Yes.
So we can touch and agree and ask God to execute your heart's desire in this matter. Because in Psalm 37, he said if we delight ourselves in him, that he would give us the desires of our heart. And in John 14:14, he said, if we ask anything, if you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And again, if you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it.
Amen.
So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this interview. We thank you for this caller. We thank you for her granddaughter. We thank you for the effect that the book had on her, Lord. And we thank you that she knows that she does matter. And we thank you for the vision that you gave to Talana. Now, Father, we cover her with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. And we recognize that she's not in this for form or fashion, because she's doing what you placed inside of her to do. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would breathe the breath of life upon these books. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would breathe the breath of life upon the proposals. And I put an S on the end of it, because she's not going to stop with the Scholastic Project. Because, God, we believe that this book needs to go global. So we ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you will strategically execute your plans and your purpose, because you said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And so, God, she is doing your will. And there are two children all around the globe that needs to read this book. But, God, there are some parents that need to take the time to read the book and then to share the book with their children, so their hearts can be transformed, so that minds can be transformed, so that the young people, Father, they will understand at a young age the power and authority that you have placed inside of them. So we thank you for the unique and the dynamic way that you are using Talana, Lord. And as she speaks, we can't help but feel your heart. So she's writing the things that are on your heart and the things that are on your mind. So we ask that you would place these books in your showcase. And your showcase covers a wide variety of places. But, God, we're asking that you would release unusual favor and allow these books to go into the schools. Allow these books to go into the libraries. Allow these books to go to school, to stores and to fairs and, God, in the malls, and just highlight it. When the sport teams at school and they win all of their tournaments, they get the big trophies and they go in the showcase. Mm-hmm. So, God, showcase these books. And every other book that she's going to write for you. But we ask in the name of Jesus that you would even showcase her daycare. Because if she could be this compassionate, if she could be so loving and kind and concerned about the children that are going to read this book, it's a reflection of what's taking place at her childcare. So we pray that you will also highlight her child care center, Lord, and that all of the children that are there, whatever the circumstances may be, whatever they are going through, whatever they are dealing with, whatever the parents are dealing with and going through, because she shared that testimony the last time she was here. But, God, we pray that you will use her in a mighty way to help bring healing and deliverance to the students, her children, and also to the parents. And bless this caller that thought it not robbery to share her testimony. So we thank you and we praise you and we place a seal on these prayers, God. And we know that you're opening up doors for Talana that only you can open. And we thank you for this new season that she is in for answer prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So thank you so much, caller, and please stay, you know, with us for the rest of the interview. And
okay,
Talana,
sure.
I wanted to – okay, thank you. Would you like for me to leave your mic open?
Oh, no, you can unmute it. No, you can mute it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much. Talana, I just felt the need to pray because, you know, a lot of times we talk about things and then we say we go and we pray later, and sometimes we don't. But I really believe in what you're doing, and it's like your heart is so beautiful for God's children. And then to hear the testimony, like the last time it was a testimony, you know, it was a lot of testimonies.
Yeah.
But I want to read the back of the book, You Matter, and it says, you matter, and you are important. Encourage someone today. It may be the sunshine that will brighten their day. Remember, encouragement instills courage and a sense of self-motivation. It also tells others that they are loved and that we each truly matter. We have the Lord's permission to love ourselves and to be all he has created us to be. We have been given the authority by God to matter. We are important to God and will always matter. And then the cover is just beautiful because it's even more children, and it's a globe there. So the prayer was just complimenting your book.
Amen. Yes, amen. I agree. Amen. Yes, yes.
So
we just got to get this message out just to let children know, because what will happen, you know, others will begin to chatter. For whatever reason, you know, we know how the world is. We know how sin is. And, you know, when children go off to school, they may hear the chatter of other children not approving them or liking them for whatever the reason is. But even through my child care program, I've had children that would really become upset when other children have made a choice of not wanting to play with them. And at my in my program, I've always tried to encourage children, you know, to play together, you know, nicely together. But there will be times when someone wants to play by themselves. So I had a couple of students that really took that kind of hard, you know, when someone didn't want to play with them. So I had to really begin to tap in, you know, to their inner beauty, letting them know you're still beautiful regardless. You're still loved. You're still important. Just because someone doesn't want to play with you, it doesn't lessen your quality. You're still who God has created you to be. It's just that person just doesn't want to play right now. So I was experiencing that a lot with the children. They were feeling that they just weren't loved because someone didn't want to play with them. So I felt it was really, you know, God directing me and telling me, hey, I need you to do something really to help these children before they go off to kindergarten. Because in my program, I'm only licensed for 6 children, but when you get off the kindergarten, you might have 30 children in your classroom. And it may be more than one that has made the choice of not wanting to play with you. But again, we have to just continue to remind children, you know, that they don't need approval. They don't need approval from other children for them to understand and to know how great they are and how beautiful that they are and what the potential that God has placed in them. So even in the book, it speaks about, you know, the chatter of others, you know, that may try to discourage you. But again, once we begin to teach children who they are and who they belong to, all that chatter, it doesn't equate to anything because I know who I am. So therefore, I don't have to be bothered by the chatter as to what other people say because I'm confident and I'm secure in God and I know who God says I am. So therefore, I don't have to become upset, you know, if someone doesn't want to play with me, you know, or anything like that. And I've always taught the children even to pray, you know, even young children, they come with their stuff too. So therefore we need to equip children with the power of prayer. We need to equip children with who Jesus is. You know, I often tell kids, if it gets too overwhelming, just start calling on the name of Jesus. you know, he hears you, he knows, and he can solve anything. He can change any situation at any particular time. So it's so important that we instill these godly morals and lessons in children early so that when they go off to their schools, you know, it won't trip them up too badly.
Yes. And that's, I'm glad you said that. That needed to be said because we have a whole generation from 30 down where they're not really educating their children about God.
Mm-hmm.
And they're clueless. And mm-hmm. then we have, you know, all of the different religions, and mm-hmm. some of them are, you know, they wear the garb and they wear the hats and things like that, but do they really know what they're doing? Do they really know God? You know, mm-hmm. and they're so delicate at that time.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that I was just talking to someone yesterday, and I said, it amazes me that it took one person to get prayer and Bible out of school.
Mm.
I said, in all of these years, how come nobody ever thought about trying to get it back in?
Okay. Yep, because I sat on the board at the school district when all of that was going on, when they were, trying to take prayer and everything out the school. I sat on the board. I fought for this, you know, for all of the good stuff to stay within the schools. But unfortunately, you know, it didn't go that way. But
right.
I'm a firm believer, you know, I know God is able, you know. I know the power of what God can do, you know. So we just have to continue to stand on his word, continue to believe him. And when he gets tired enough, he'll do a shift in some things.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's gonna
but
take
you
a
know,
lot of people by surprise.
Absolutely. I believe that. But, you know, there's a lot of faithful ones that have said
mm-hmm.
enough is enough. And
mm-hmm.
they are, you know, I don't want to take the focus off of you and what you're doing, but they are
mm-hmm.
standing up and they are praying in school and
yes.
they are, you know, sharing the gospel. So
mm-hmm.
kudos to them, and we'll just keep
yes.
them covered with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to, I've been taking little notes while we've been talking, and when you mentioned damage and you was like not in a bad way, and I totally understand what you was talking about from a positive perspective, but I also want you to know that, and it's still a good perspective for me because
mm-hmm.
God said, with thee will I break in pieces. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so there's a battery. We got that positive and we got that negative. You are causing serious damage into the camp of the enemy by this book.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when we look at the children, and let's use Callie for example,
mm-hmm.
whichever way she was feeling, this book did something to her because
yes.
her grandmother said, she said, I am important.
Mm-hmm.
And she said
right.
it with authority.
Yes.
So don't you know the
yes.
moment she said that, the devil had
yes.
to back up off of her?
Yes. Yes.
And her whole
yes.
world changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a testimony.
Yes, it
That's
is.
That's a give
yes.
God the glory moment.
Yes.
So what
yes,
you're doing is not a light thing. God is so pleased, and the enemy would love for you to just take your books and go somewhere and sit down. But
no,
that's
not
going to
happen.
Not yes, it's happen. Not going to happen because this is important. And for, I feel like for parents, regardless of what their background is or what they believe, whatever
mm-hmm.
their faith is, they can learn from your books.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so the one thing I want to highlight on is so many children have been damaged emotionally, mentally, psychologically, and even spiritually. And there's been a lot of abuse. And the put-downs, Talana,
yes.
the put-downs kill their spirit,
yes.
and the put-downs tell them that they don't matter. So this is a good opportunity to reverse this thing. But
mm-hmm.
it's also for everyone that is listening, whether you're on the couch or whether you're on the internet, our prayer is that you will take away prayer directives throughout this interview because God is speaking. And there's excellent ways that we could take all of this to God in prayer because there are many barriers, there are many hindrances, and the enemy is really, the enemy has put an assignment out against our children. And all of the negative things that's happening to them, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the purpose of those put downs is to make them feel like they don't matter, that they're not worthy. So I thank you so much for, you know, the moment you said that with the damage, and I said, oh, I got to come back to that. Mm-hmm. So that is powerful in itself. Yeah. And when you could take a seed, and I'm quite sure in your, you know, the child care center, you teach them how to plant the seed, and then they put it on the windowsill, but, you know, they watch it grow. So through the years, you've been in this field for a long time. I know you have watched the seeds, the children, grow into trees. And how did you turn those situations around in the classroom where you had a child that was struggling with a lot of negativity and negative thinking? How did you help them to change their thought process and how they saw themselves? And I'm asking this for a reason. And when you give your answer, if you use any affirmations with them, can you also share with our audience so that they can learn, so that we can learn how to do the same thing? Because I think that's crucial.
I'm a prayer warrior, so I believe in teaching the children how to pray. So I pray over the children when they come into the child care. I pray over the children because I think it's so important. We never know what a child or a parent or an adult is carrying, you know, with them. So God has even utilized me not only to pray for the children, but also for the parents, just as you just indicated. With the caller, you said, let's come into agreement and pray about some things. Same thing with the parents of my child care program. If I see that they were going through some things, I would take the time to pray with them. And also it crosses over to the children. If we can equip the children with that tool of prayer, they can do so much more damage. And to allow them to know that you don't have to wait for your parents or a relative or even Miss T, as they affectionately call me, you don't have to wait for us to pray. You know, if we equip them with the tools that they need, they're better off to begin to utilize them. And once we give children the tools on how to access something that's going to change a situation, as long as we're implementing it in a positive way, children will happily, you know, begin to do it themselves. So with myself, I prayed with the children a lot, but I've also, as you stated, with the affirmations, I use a lot of affirmations within the child care program. And for instance, for one, we have something very simple, and we kind of made it into a song as well, but it's just saying, I am special. I am very, very special. God made me. God loves me. I love God, and I have potential and purpose. So to let a child know that maybe be going through some withdrawal things and not being able to cope with the midst of even coming to child care, just begin to feed those positive affirmations. And I'm a big person on music. So within my program, I daily play music throughout the day. You know, even though some may say, well, no, don't play music all day, but I understand and I know what works for the children that God has entrusted me with. So I will play music throughout the day and, you know, biblical, the nursery rhyme songs, and also the biblical songs. And even through playing those simple songs, it really enlightens their spirit. You know, and just really begin to have that conversation with kids. You know, parents can't be afraid or adults can't be afraid to talk to children and to express things to children, and also vice versa, allow children to express the way they're feeling. Because I think if they can identify what those big emotions are, if you can teach children what those big emotions are, and then they can recognize what they're feeling, then they're more apt to be able to express to you what it is that's going on with them. And then in turn, you're able to give them the tools that they need that will help them to overcome whatever that barrier is. So, again, communication. I think prayer and communication is a big thing. And validating what they're feeling. Don't dismiss it as to, oh, no, you know, no, these feelings are real. This is what they are experiencing. Okay, we have to validate it. This is something they're experiencing. We don't want to just push it under the carpet. We want to acknowledge it, and then we want to come to a resolution as to how we may be able to solve whatever it is that they're going through. So I think it's, you know, very just so important for us, you know, to help children through things and to give them daily affirmations that will help them to be able to overcome whatever that barrier may be. You know, begin to tell, let them know, you know, God says that they're the head, not the tail. We got to begin to really speak life, you know, into the children. You know, we don't want to speak down on them, because when we speak down on them and if we're speaking negativity, if you keep speaking it long enough, that's what they're going to believe. So let's change that trajectory and begin to speak life, speak positivity into the lives of children so that, you know, they can grow up to be well-rounded adults. You know, because believe it or not, it's just a cycle. Whatever they're experiencing as a child, if it's not dealt with, it'll go into their teenage years, their young adult years, and even as they get older. And then when they begin to have their families, you see, it's a cycle. It's the same thing. It's going to come around again because it was never dealt with as a child. So I say when God entrusts anybody with children, it is a really delicate state. And we have to really tap in and seek God as to how we need to handle each child, because every child is different. You know, just because this method works for this child may not work for another child. So we got to have, you know, a couple of things in our back pocket, you know, that we can pull out and begin to apply to help children.
That is so true. That is so true. Now, have you been in a situation where you had to speak to a parent to help them reach their children?
Yes. And I thank God that, you know, my husband and I, we have three sons, and I can even recall when our children were young, and when it came to, like, if one of our sons did something that needed to be corrected, and my husband would correct them, it used to upset me so much, you know. But then God spoke to me, and I had to kind of take my hands off of it, because I know that as my husband, being my husband and the father of our children, that he's not going to do anything to damage our children. He wants the best for our children. So all of the things that he had allowed my husband and I to experience with our children, even as we look at our three adult sons now, I'm so grateful for God speaking to me and telling me, okay, step back and allow your husband to do his fatherly duty, you know. And because of that, I'm able, when I see parents that come in and they say that their child is doing X, Y, Z, I'm more fit to be able to help them through, you know, different phases that their child might be going through. And they really accept, you know, they appreciate it. You know, they appreciate it because they know my husband, they know our children, and they can see, you know, we're very transparent. They can see how our children have grown up, you know, and it always kind of took it back, because when my husband and our children are here, the children, even though I'm here with them every day and I'm doing everything for them, but when my husband and our three sons were around, the children forgot about me. I'm like, Mom, what about me? You know, they forgot about me. You know, they
right.
Really, you know, and that's just a testament of the love not only that I have for the children in my program, but also from my family. you know, how they volunteer for these little ones as well. And I would say really particularly the little boys, because some of the male children that were in my program, a lot of them didn't have a two-parent home. And it was most of the time where the father was absent. So it was kind of a portrait that they can see other males, you know, in their midst, and that my husband or our children would even just take the time, like, to throw a basketball with the children or to throw a football, you know, with the little boys and things like that. And I think that really did wonders for the little kids, because if they just have her mom, you know, she wants to do her other things. She got a little boy, you know, but it's not too likely that she may always go out there to throw a football or play basketball. My husband and our children, you know, they would take the time to do that with the kids. And I think that was, you know, really rewarding as well, you know, to the family.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. And is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners? And I would like for you to take some time to provide your contact information for speaking engagements,
sure.
Book signings, and your website.
Okay. So what I would like to share with the listeners, basically thank them for taking the time out of their busy schedules to listen in. I think the one individual that did call in, blessings to her as well as each of the listeners. And if they can, what will really be beneficial, if they can begin to call their libraries, because I have the libraries on my radar, not only Philadelphia, but across, you know, the states. I'm trying to get my book into libraries. I'm also trying to get my book into the African American Children's Book Fair, which is going to take place in February. So if they can begin to call these different entities, and if they can request my book, it'll make my job a little easier when I go to approach them in reference to bringing my book into their particular establishments. I do have a couple of different places on my radar, or from even child care programs, other child care programs in the process of going into their programs to read my books to their children as well. So God is allowing me a little bit of time where I'm able to do that. So if they can do that, and prayer is always welcome, if you can just keep me in prayer, you know, as I move forward in my journey of writing children's books, and, you know, that God would just continue to speak to my heart and to have messages that will really begin to penetrate the hearts of not only children, but also adults as well. In reference to my contact information, my email, it would be my name, which is Talana, T as in Thomas, A as in Apple, L as in Love, O as in Oscar, N as in Nancy, A as in Adam, Coleman, C as in Charles, O, L, E, M as in Mother, A, N as in Nancy, @yahoo.com. So that would be my contact information. If anyone wanted to get a hold to me, they can use my email address, or they can visit me on Instagram. I am listed under Heaven Sent Child Care, or they can Google me at Child Care Heaven Sent. And that will be my contact information. If you're interested, again, in making purchases of books, or you can either go to CLC Bookstore, or you can visit Amazon. Everyone is aware of Amazon, or you can visit Amazon. I am available for book signings as well as speaking engagements. And I would just ask that if everyone, again, can just keep me in prayer as I move forward in this work of ministry as the Lord has called me to.
Amen. And we certainly will. Now, I'm going to ask you to provide a listing for me for all of the places you want us to reach out to, and I will do a faithful campaign for you on the radio.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
We can get together, you know, and do some commercials, but I can start posting some stuff on the website and on the radio to help get it out there.
I greatly appreciate that.
You're welcome. And we do have two callers, and we're going to take the first caller with the last four numbers, 1906. Your mic is open.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Jacqueline. I wrote down three questions, but I'll just ask one.
You can ask all of them if you like.
Okay. What were some of the barriers that you had with trying to get your book published?
I will say, really, I didn't have many. I sat down, I wrote, I actually self-published. I went through KDP, which is Amazon's publishing company. So after, first God gave me the material to write, and then after that I reached out to Fiverr for the illustration, and then from after the illustrations were complete, I then created an account on KDP Publishing, and from there it was easy selling. Once you reach out to KDP Publishing, it's a pretty good quick turnaround. I'm going to say within maybe a two-day turnaround, and that was really it. So I didn't really run into barriers. By the grace of God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, my next
question
is, yes, what made you want to write a book? Because most people, you know, I have a friend whose daughter, she went to law school, she got her law degree, and after she graduated, she worked for a while as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
But then she turned around and wrote a children's book. And I'm just wondering, you know, was that the same kind of process for you? What made you want to write a book? What was your major coming up? Did you want to be a writer?
I have so many journals. I journal a lot. I'm always, as God speaks to me, I'm always documenting. And I will document and just put it away. But if I can say for my first book, the inspiration of my first book back in 2020, when COVID hit, there was a video surfacing of a 3 to 4 year old African American little girl. She was getting her hair combed, and she was crying that she was not pretty. And the young lady that was doing her hair kept trying to encourage her how beautiful she was, but the child was not going for it. So when I saw that video, it really tore at my heart that a child of such tender age of maybe 3 or 4 would have this perception about herself. So at the time, I had not written the book, I Am Important. I didn't write it. But then when I spoke to God, I said, well, God, what can I do to help children to understand that they are loved and that they are important? He said, write a book. So he then began to speak it into my spirit, the words of this book that has been written. So it wasn't until then that it kind of came to me like, okay, you know, once I wrote the first book, I was like, okay, this was pretty good. But I do have other material that I'm always documenting and journaling. I have a whole lot. I have a plethora of different writings and everything. But, again, I don't do anything until the Lord tells me to step out. So as a child, did I want to write? No. It was just something I would just jot down things. And even my children to this day, they keep saying, well, Mom, why are you writing? You know, God gives me all these inspirational sayings, and I tie them in with scripture. And my children always say, Mom, why are you writing that? What is that for? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, this is what the Lord is telling me. I'm just writing it. But come to find out down the line, God is going to use it in a way that he sees fit. So it wasn't something that I had planned on doing as a child. No, it didn't really come to fruition until 2020 when I saw that video. And then God gave me the insight and the inspiration to write this book. And I love writing. I still, as I mentioned, I still have a whole lot more, you know, that's already written. But I don't just go and release it just because it's already written. I wait on the Lord, and when he tells me it's time to release it, then I will make the steps to go ahead, you know, to do the, to have the illustrations and having it self-published. But I don't do anything until he tells me, because I understand that there's a season for everything. So I might be trying to go release something, and that's not the season for it to be released. So I just have to wait on the Lord. But I'm enjoying the journey.
Amen. Amen. Do you ever anticipate ever maybe your book becoming a movie down the line?
Oh, that would be good. If God speaks to me in that manner, that is a very good idea, because, you know, we have some children that won't read a book, but they will go to a movie theater. So that's an excellent idea. If God speaks that into my spirit, I would not have any objections to it. As long as they can write it and do the movie the same way that me and my biblical way with my scriptures and everything, as long as that can stay within whatever realm the Lord is, you know, that he brings. But I have to keep my scriptures. I have to keep, you know, the focal point as to how God has told me to write it. But that is an excellent idea.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have just.
God bless.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That's an awesome idea. Speaking of intuition.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's what I was saying. Because I started thinking about Fat Albert. You know, that started with just a thought and the pen and piece of paper.
Yes. I said, we never know.
You never know. And, you know, I. Talana, with all of this, and thank you, caller, for all of your questions, and we're going to get to the next caller in a moment. But, Talana, remember the prophetic word that you had received when I came to your book club, mm-hmm. and that has been flashing all night, like, you know, that God is doing such a, he's going to do something unusual and dynamic with you. And I don't remember it all, but his hand has begun. the work that he has begun is beautiful, but you're going to see some things happen that's going to blow your mind.
Amen. Like you said, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even in the depths of God. So I'm just standing on that. I'm standing on 1 Corinthians 2:9. You know, is whatever the Lord's will is.
Amen. So caller with the last four numbers, 0919, your mic is open. Technical difficulties.
Okay.
Okay, I opened her mic and then it disappeared, so I don't know, and the wheels is just turning. So if you can text me your comments or your question, and then I can read it to Talana, because your mic is not opening up for some reason. Okay, I don't know if she can hear me or not.
Even when you started out the program in reference to the song being focused and keeping focus, it just reminded me of, you know, Proverbs 4:25, when it tells us to let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before me, you know, so we need not to become distracted. you know, we got to stay focused on whatever the Lord is calling us to do. And I really enjoyed that song that you played, you know, in the beginning of our broadcast.
Thank you so much. As you were saying it, I'm like, because I know I heard God right. I try to put a song, you know, that God lead me for the broadcast.
Yes,
so, and I'll send it to you so you'll have a link. I mean, so you can listen to it. So caller with the last four numbers, 0919, she said, thank you so much for your passion and purpose.
You're welcome, and thank you.
So, and she just wanted to say thank you for what you're doing. She works with children as well, special needs. And she was here with your first interview as well.
Okay. Praise God. Praise God.
So this is the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and our special guest tonight was Christian author Talana R. Coleman, and the title of her book is You Matter, and her first book is I Am Important. If you would like to purchase a copy of this book, they can be purchased on Amazon, on CLC Christian Bookstore in Wincote, Something Different by Eric and Bryn Mawr, Booked in Chestnut Hill, or you can check your local book distributor. If your local book distributor doesn't carry her books, then you could reach out directly to Talana at talonacoleman@yahoo.com, or you can contact her directly at childcareheavensent.com. And again, for those of you that are, well, not again, but if you're listening to this broadcast or if you know someone that has small children and they're looking for a Christian daycare, please get in touch with Talana at the email addresses provided, and she will be more than happy to follow up with you. She has a wonderful child care where the children are growing academically as well as spiritually, and she has seen a great turnaround for families that were having problems with their children. So God is really, really moving. And Talana, I want to say thank you so much for joining me and sharing the work that God has given you to do. I really love what you were saying about the chatter, and so many times that chatter gets us in trouble, even adults. And that's an area that I'm going to be really zooming in on prayer, because that affects, you know, the children, like you were saying earlier. I think that's really, really awesome. And I just want to give the scriptures, the two scriptures that she highlights in this book, which is Jeremiah 17 and verse 7 and Jeremiah 29 and 11. And she says, as children learn to trust the Lord, they can then begin to understand that God has great plans for their lives. So if we could take away that prayer directive, is that as the children learn to trust God, we want to decree that they will understand that God has great plans for their lives. Mm-hmm. And that was for Jeremiah 29 and Jeremiah 17 and 7. So is there anything you want to add? You could share your closing remarks now.
I just want everyone, thank everyone again for tuning in to this radio broadcast. I want to send a blessing and a covering over everyone's life. Be blessed, be purposeful, and always remember that you are important and also that you do matter. God bless you.
God bless you too. Everyone, have a blessed night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless. Bye-bye.